coming up on the Psychedelic Therapy Podcast.
I'm now feeling on a day-to-day calm and productive because the intensity before my treatment, I was really intensely breaking down every day, which is emotionally draining, physically draining, draining on your relationships. So it's hard to even relate to that, how that was. But thinking back, it was extremely disruptive to my life. And I'm now operating, like, I think I reflected yesterday, like before it was 95% of my days was feeling despair. And now 95% of my days is feeling peace and I have 5% of despair. So it's been a huge shift, but I also want to echo what Noemi said. I don't think you can put a timeline on how or when it will work. So I really put a lot of trust in the process and now I'm really, really seeing the benefits in a very positive way.
Welcome to the Psychedelic Therapy Podcast, a weekly conversation series with leaders in psychedelic culture, designed for therapists, healers, retreat leaders, and passionate enthusiasts. Presented by Maya and hosted by me, Eamon Armstrong. Welcome back to the Psychedelic Therapy Podcast. Today on the show, for the first time, we are discussing a firsthand account of a patient's experience of psychedelic therapy. Sydney Bergen received 6 ketamine infusions administered by Noemi Toth. On the show, Sydney and Noemi share their experience working together. The conversation starts with Noemi's work and Sydney's reasons for pursuing psychedelic therapy. We talk about ketamine safety as a dissociative anesthetic and the subjective experience of that dissociation. Sydney and Noemi both emphasize the importance of integration therapy after treatment, including, in Sydney's case, internal family systems therapy. Finally, we end the show with lessons and suggestions for potential ketamine infusion patients. Sydney is an emotional clearing facilitator, dedicated to her own healing journey and to supporting others by sharing her story. Noemi has been practicing as a nurse anesthesiologist since 2010. She has performed hundreds of ketamine infusions over the last 4 years and is helping people overcome depression and anxiety disorders. The Aspen Ketamine Center takes a multidisciplinary approach towards mental health. In addition to resources mentioned on the show, this includes nutritional counseling and bioidentical hormone therapy as options for treatment through their network of specialists. And you can learn more at www.ketaminevida.com. That's ketaminevida.com. And now, here's Sydney and Noemi. Does everybody feel ready for a nice casual conversation about psychedelic healing?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, Sydney, Noemi, I am honored to have you here on the Psychedelic Therapy Podcast. And there's going to be so much value for both people going into this kind of healing and the people providing it by hearing the two of you, your experience, and how your experience interrelates with each other. And I, for one, am thrilled. So welcome to the Psychedelic Therapy Podcast.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us. I think this will be a really special conversation, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Noemi, let's start with you. You have been practicing as a nurse anesthesiologist since 2010, and you've performed hundreds of ketamine infusions over the past 4 years, and you specifically have been working with depression and anxiety disorders, and I know that you also have an element of physical fitness that's part of your practice. So you've got a lot of experience, and you've been working with the Aspen Ketamine Center for a while, and you are Sydney's therapist. I'd love to start with how you got involved in psychedelic therapy.
Awesome. So I'm so happy to be here. I do want to clarify that I'm not Sydney's therapist. I'm not a qualified therapist. I am the administrator of ketamine therapy, ketamine used for the treatment of depression, anxiety disorders. So in that setting, I administer this type of therapy, which is a medication. But I do not provide therapy, but we do, in conjunction with therapists, we do have therapy available at the Aspen Ketamine Center. So I just wanted to make that quick clarification because that's really important in the world of therapy.
It's also important for a podcast host to have prepared for before the interview, but now we're here and it's a teaching moment.
Yeah, so that's okay.
So are you working together with a therapist consistently for the treatment?
That's correct. Yes, that's correct. When I decided to help open the Aspen Ketamine Center, I had had a previous experience in opening another ketamine clinic in Miami, Florida. And there were just great learning experiences from doing that. And when I decided to help open this ketamine clinic in Aspen, I was like, you know, I'm not going to do it without a therapist, because that is truly one of the most important things about ketamine therapy is being able to integrate it afterwards. And so we do work with a network of therapists and one specific therapist who is also trained in ketamine assisted psychotherapy. She works with almost all of our clients who don't already have a therapist. So that's kind of the model that we have set up in order to bring our clients just a really more well-rounded experience when it comes to this form of treatment.
And so in terms of how that actually plays out, Sydney, when in the context of this treatment are you seeing your therapist?
Yeah, so when I first inquired with Noemi at Aspen Ketamine Therapy, that was a huge part of what I was looking for, is to have that integrative follow-up. So the way I was introduced was before the therapy. I spoke with the therapist and talked about my fears, my expectations, my intentions, and then throughout had the availability to schedule with her at my request. So could do it each week or wait till the end. So I did one in the middle of my therapy, and then I did a follow-up session after. And my work really came to the surface after the ketamine sessions. So I actually continued to work with her and still do, which I think was a special situation, but I just really needed that extra support and had a great connection with the therapist that was provided at the center.
Mm. And we'll learn a lot more about that journey throughout our conversation today. Noemi, you started as a nurse anesthesiologist. Am I right in thinking that you were working with ketamine as an anesthesiologist prior to using it as a tool for supporting people with depression and anxiety disorders?
Yes, that's correct. So ketamine is kind of a new player as a treatment for depression and anxiety. It was originally developed and still is used as an anesthetic. So my background in anesthesiology really kind of lended itself into learning more about ketamine used in a completely different way. And the reason I was even interested in it was because my family has some history of anxiety, depression disorders. And so I was kind of always on the outlook or on the verge of like finding treatments for that. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of the current and acceptable treatment modalities, or at least medications that are available to people, like the SSRIs and SNRIs, don't work that well for 50% of those still taking them. And so they usually end up with trying multiple medications and still having significant depression, anxiety symptoms. So I got into it with the encouragement of my sister, who suffers from anxiety as well. And when I read all the studies that were coming out, specifically the Yale study from 2000 about how ketamine was helping people much more rapidly than SSRIs and SNRIs, I really looked into it. And ketamine clinics were just starting to open up at the time. This was back in 2016. And I just became convinced based on the research of how well it was working. And at the time, we started one of the first clinics in Miami. It was a small operation out of one of my partners, which was a psychiatrist, out of her office. And just with the first infusion of our first client at the time, I saw a massive difference in how it helped his mood. And so I truly became convinced that this was going to be revolutionary in this field. And it truly has been. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into it. It just became a really interesting cross between my background in anesthesiology and my interest in depression syndromes and wanting to find ways to fix that. And it's really interesting where life takes you with these things. You know, I would have never ever in school thought that I was going to be working in the mental health field at all. But I've learned a lot, and it's been a growing experience for me personally as well. So a really wonderful experience learning more about mental health and ways to help people.
And you've been doing these ketamine infusions for 4 years. So that's hundreds of clients mm-hmm. over 4 years. So you've been able to mm-hmm. see firsthand that there's a consistent and significant impact of these treatments for these particular challenges of depression and anxiety.
Yeah, and every case is really different. You know, what makes ketamine unique is that the protocols that we have developed for it that are based on the studies, you know, are more of a guideline, but every case is unique and everyone will respond to it differently. And the hardest thing for me as a practitioner to do is to promise someone an outcome. You just can't. You know, for some people, it works fantastically. For others, it takes quite a few infusions, 3 to 6, in order to actually even begin to see a difference. And for some, it doesn't work at all, though that group of people tends to be much smaller than the others. It really, it works pretty well in about 70 to 80% of cases. But you just can't make any promises as to the exact way that it's going to affect you. And part of the reason for that is because it has the dissociative effect. So ketamine is known as a dissociative anesthetic. It means that during these low dose infusions, you feel a disconnection between space and time, a disconnection between even you yourself and your ego. And part of that is a really big part of the treatment process. And that might be a great way for Sydney to jump in here and tell us what that was like for her, because it tends to be the number one question of anyone coming to us for ketamine therapy. They're always worried about what that dissociation is going to feel like.
I was just laughing a little bit because in my first session, they're 40 minutes and you come in and your left brain, I'm going to sit here for 30 minutes or 40 minutes. And then I remember the first thing I said to Noemi after my first session, I was like, there's no way that was 40 minutes. I think that was 14 years. And I was like, it just takes you, like she said, beyond a space and time. And it's unique in that you don't have a grasp when you come out of it, at least I didn't, on what exactly happened. You're in the moment throughout the treatment, but it's really hard to hang on to all that appears and you experience in that time.
Mm-hmm. So, Sydney, you are the first person on this podcast who is actually specifically a client. What term do you use? Client, patient, participant? What's your preferred term for the way that you are participating in this experience?
Friend. It goes a close relationship quickly.
Well, yeah. You are the first ketamine friend to be on this show. And this is special for me because I've actually been encouraging my mother to do some ketamine-assisted therapy. And she's been reading some articles and trust me, but she, like many people, I think is really interested in what the experience that someone actually going through this therapy would have from the beginning through the actual experience, and then of course the integration and how those lessons are woven into creating a better thriving life. So I think maybe to start with your journey, Sydney, if you feel comfortable, how did you first hear about psychedelic therapy and why did you see this as something that might be supportive of your own personal thriving?
So I've been hearing a lot about psychedelic therapy just having lived in Boulder and the MAPS research, and just I'm very interested in mental health. My mom's a psychiatric nurse, and I'm also very open to non-traditional ways of people having access to this type of therapy, given the research that shows the benefits. So I think it just sparked the interest and have been listening to a lot of podcasts and reading, and I didn't know many people that had done it. I actually didn't know anyone that had done ketamine therapy. So that is a big reason I wanted to be here today, is to share what one experience might be like and normalize that it's not a drug treatment that is so stigmatized by our culture. You're not out in the land just on a wild experience. It's in a treatment facility. And also, there's nothing wrong with those experiences on land, but this is a very safe place. And I honestly didn't know much about ketamine specifically. I just felt a calling to it. It just intuitively felt like this is something I want to explore.
Noemi, Sydney referred to this experience as being very safe. Can you tell us a little bit about the safety of ketamine? Obviously, this is on the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines. It's administered in many different contexts. Can you tell me a bit about the safety of ketamine as a medicine itself, and also the container that's created at the Aspen Ketamine Center?
Yeah, so ketamine is a very safe medication when given at the proper dose. And in the proper setting, it is very, very safe. It's unique in that when we use it as an anesthetic or at higher doses in order to provide sedation for certain procedures, it tends to not mess with your ability to breathe, or it does not depress your respiratory drive. So from that perspective, even as a sedative at very high doses, it is really safe. When we use it in the setting of as a treatment for depression, anxiety, and as an IV infusion, we actually use it at sub-anesthetic levels, meaning it's a very, very low dose and it's infused over typically 40 minutes. So it's a low dose infused over a long period of time, makes it even safer. In the context of when it's used as a treatment for depression, it's nowhere near what it's like as if we were to use it in anesthesia. So even though we take all full precautions, so for our clinic specifically, we have everything available in case of an emergency, in case there's an allergic reaction, or in case there's any sort of cardiac event, we're fully prepared and capable of treating that. But it is not it is an office procedure. It's not a hospital procedure. You're not in the hospital. We create very sort of nurturing and comforting environment. Our infusion suite is actually below our main spa area and away from everything else. We tend to turn off the lights very low, get you real cozy with a blanket, and there's lots of playlists for you to choose from to listen to. So we create a very safe environment. And then the other thing is all of our infusions are always 100% supervised by myself or another nurse anesthesiologist. So you're kind of getting the highest level of care that you would have as if you were getting anesthesia, but this is truly not an anesthesia experience. You're very much present within your mind, even though you're very relaxed in a recliner.
So that sounds like a very cozy environment. Sydney, can you tell us a bit about what that first experience was like for you? Did you feel safe and held in that environment? Did you choose a great playlist? How was that experience for you the first time you went in?
Yeah, cozy is definitely a great description. Noemi's presence was a huge part of it for me. Just made sure we sat down and talked. And there was also the, if you don't want to do it today, that's fine too. Let's just see how you feel. Let's talk. Let's get you in the recliner. She had a heated blanket, which was a nice addition. So yeah, I really felt like the experience was all about me and my comfort. And then as far as the music, that was actually a question I had, as should I bring my own? And she had an extensive playlist, and the advice I was given was to actually not play music you know, because it might bring you to a directed time or experience or memory. So I even remember I would text Noemi some playlists I found but didn't know much, and she'd download them for me. So it was very catered. It felt like not a medical procedure, like a spa experience. Yeah, it was all around a very comforting setting, which is very, very important.
And we also encourage you to bring all of your own things that make you comfortable. So I remember after the first session, you would come back with like a nice big blanket or, you know, your own little, like your crystals and the things that kind of give you the comfort that you want during your infusion. So I always highly encourage that you make the space exactly what makes you comfortable and what gives you a sense of joy and peace. And I think that's actually a really important part of setting the stage for the treatment as well.
Yeah, I brought along my stuffy from my childhood. My Snoopy doll had it with me each time. First time I was a little like embarrassed, but it was a great addition.
I thought it was really cute when you just took it out of your backpack and put it right next to you. I was like, this is just so darling. I love it.
And you know, that really speaks to something that comes up a lot in psychedelic therapy, which is the wisdom of the inner healer, that you kind of know what you need and that having a safe container is key to letting that healing happen within you. So Sydney, it seems like you had really great instincts to say, here's a stuffy that meant a lot to me. This makes me feel safe. I'm going to bring this in with me and let this be part of the experience. Was that kind of how you were thinking about it, where you're like, this is going to create more safety for me? This is going to allow me to feel more grounded in this experience?
It was. And my kind of intention and word was surrender to the experience. So I was like, I have no idea. I don't think you can really prepare because it's different for each person and it's such an immersive experience and it's something we don't have access to in our day-to-day life. So I just wanted to feel like as comfortable as I could, but knew I was going to be in an uncomfortable new situation.
Mm-hmm. Noemi, you kind of teed up a little earlier in the conversation that a question that comes up, maybe the most often question, is what does it actually feel like to dissociate in that way? What is the dissociative experience mm-hmm. like? And I wonder if together the three of us could help kind of construct for the listener to the best of our ability what it actually is like to have a ketamine therapy session. Now, I know that this is an ineffable experience. That's one of its qualities. It's very difficult to describe. But I'd love to paint a bit of a picture of what it actually feels like, A, to have that experience, and B, to have that experience in a context that is directed towards healing.
Yeah, I've tried to describe this in many different ways to many different clients because everyone tends to be most scared of that exact dissociative experience. I would say it's almost always a positive experience, meaning people come into it anxious or somewhat apprehensive, but in the end, as long as they're comfortable enough to kind of let go and let ketamine kind of take you into that dissociative zone, it is, some people describe it as a warm hug. Some people say that they're just incredibly relaxed and comforted. But on the other side, the experience itself is a loss of sense of time and space. You're truly able to more explore your own mind, your own thoughts. Some people say that you can watch your thoughts playing like a movie screen, and you can just cherry pick which one you want to go into. Do you want to explore that thought a little further? Go into that thought. You know, maybe it's something that relates to your depression or anxiety or the root cause of that problem. So it's a really interesting experience. It's unique every single time. It's different every single infusion session. We could do the exact same dose for every infusion session and the dissociation will feel very different. A lot of how it feels is dependent on the approach that you come in with. And so I try to coach people to let them know to come in with an approach of curiosity and not fear. And generally that will allow them to kind of relax into it and feel more at ease as they're going off into the ether of dissociation.
Yeah, and I can definitely resonate with that warm hug analogy. My personal experience with ketamine-assisted therapy has been that it's a lot easier to touch trauma
because the trauma is not so sharp, because everything's a little fuzzier mm-hmm. and a little easier. And just mm-hmm. as you were saying, is you can say, oh, I want to open that up and look at it. Whereas maybe in a normal waking state of consciousness, you don't really get the choice of opening up that thought because there's so many reactive protective barriers around that particular thought or that particular memory. And I've found that with ketamine, especially amongst the different psychedelics, it does create a softness, kind of floatiness, an ability to say, oh, okay, what is this actually, without all the alarms going off that kind of push you away from it. That's been my experience.
That's really great.
Yeah, right?
Sorry. I really wanted to reiterate that, because it does give you that greater sense of existential well-being, a greater sense of meaning and peace. Some people do feel that, and then they are able to take that back into their daily lives and approach the anxiety or the depression or the symptoms that they were coming in to treat, approach it in their lives saying, you know what, I've seen this, I've dealt with it, I can still work through this, you know, in my daily life now. So it's giving them that confidence in order to approach their issues, approach their problems in a completely different way. And that's where the magic lies of this type of treatment.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to get into that piece specifically in just a moment, because how you then work with your day-to-day life with these different issues is, I think, really where the deepest healing happens. So we'll get really into that. But first, Sydney, if you're comfortable, I feel like before I ask you anything, I want to say if you're comfortable, because this is so personal. But we've just talked about this dissociative experience. And I'm curious, can you think of a couple of moments in perhaps different sessions where you were able to touch on something in the ketamine space, you were able to open up a particular thought, open up a particular memory, feel something in a way that you weren't able to feel in your daily life that then allowed you to understand that aspect of yourself a little more deeply?
Yeah. Well, first I wanted to touch on that having multiple sessions was really helpful, because the first one for me felt like just getting to know the space, and they were completely different each time. But I think as the sessions went on, I learned more how to work with the medicine and intentionally open up a space or explore something that was showing up for me. And then for me, it really felt like I was just taken on the journey each time. I don't think I was able to like call up a trauma or an emotion I wanted to work with while I was in it, but I think they played out in really like sensory type ways for me. Like I felt very much like the elements at certain times. One session I remember was very water-based, and it was just being the flow, not going with the flow. I was actually being the flow and seeing and feeling. It was a totally full body experience, no sense of gravity in that. So, and then what I noticed after is my therapist and people close to me actually noticed more so than I did, because I think the self-critical voice is strong with me in particular, but that I was taking a step back or not indulging my reactions as much. I was responding more than reacting. And that's still part of my process. I'm like 2 months out of therapy now, and just noticing how it wasn't for me a total 180 shift. I feel better. I relate to everything differently, but I'm now being able to look back and see how it's been building.
There's a wonderful quote from Viktor Frankl, his most famous quote, which is, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. And it sounds like being able to go with the flow in that watery moment, or to be the flow rather, to actually have those experiences, a space may have been created, tell me if I'm right in thinking this, a space may have been created in the ketamine session that then you are able to continue in your day-to-day life, have that open space so that you weren't necessarily going to those same reactive responses and you were actually able to create that freedom. Is that an accurate way of thinking about things?
Yes. And I would say that would go hand in hand with the integrative therapy I was doing after. The therapist and I are using the IFS, internal family systems, and working with the space that was created through that approach as well has been, for me, the path that's been really, really beneficial.
Awesome. I've actually done IFS work myself, and we've actually had Dick Schwartz on this podcast.
Loved that episode.
Well, he's wonderful. And of course, in MAPS's clinical trials for MDMA, they found that participants were spontaneously doing IFS work without being directed to do so at something like 70% when they were doing the MDMA therapy. So internal family systems really seems to come up a lot. And just briefly for the listener who might not be familiar with internal family systems, it was created by Richard Schwartz. And it's a style of therapy that starts with the philosophy that we are kind of, our psychology is an amalgam of certain subpersonalities, some of which have taken on protective roles in response to difficulties and traumas in our lives, and that represents some of our reactivity are these sort of subpersonalities responding to the environment according to a learned behavior from an early age, and that part of the IFS treatment is to bring our self energy, our sort of like core pure energy of self, in to meet, love, and heal these parts of ourselves that have learned these defensive techniques. Sydney, I'd love to hear any additions to that. You said you're doing IFS, and you said that that was particularly powerful for you. So yeah, tell me a little bit more about that integration piece.
So in my experience, my panic is mostly what I was working with. Well, really, panic is kind of the anxiety that's come up for me in the past few years as I've been on my self journey. And then what drove me to ketamine was I started having like what I call the depressive episode, which I've never experienced, a prolonged time of feeling low. And I called it a doom blanket. Like I just couldn't find a breath is how I felt. So that led me to ketamine and finding Noemi. And then throughout the sessions, my panic actually increased. I started having anxiety attacks more often. And that was unsettling because I was, even though in my first session with Noemi and the therapist I was working with, I said, I have no expectations. I'm open to the experience, but I was really hoping it'd be this quick fix. And I'd feel just a big shift and a big awakening. And I had experience of that, and simultaneously, I had a lot more coming to the surface, and it's what I invited, but when it started happening, I felt like, am I doing this wrong? In fact, someone even said to me, oh, I've never heard of ketamine not working, and that was, you know, not ill-intended, but that contributed to like my feelings of like, well, did I choose the wrong treatment, or did I do something? Am I doing something wrong? And I was really nervous. I remember asking Noemi, like, I know our neural systems are malleable right now. Am I messing it up because I'm having panic? And am I inviting more panic into my life? But the IFS really came into play at that point because of just naming these as parts, and that's not my whole identity, and relating to them as a part that's not going to go away, but we can have a new relationship with that part. And I believe for my process, it was a lot of suppressed feelings that I've worked my whole life to not feel, and that the ketamine helped me have a relationship with these feelings. And I'm now working in the post-integration with how to invite them, accept them, and release them.
So, Noemi, is this a common experience that you've found with working with people that symptoms do intensify?
I would say that it really depends. It's maybe about 50-50, and it really depends on what they're coming in with, what our clients are coming in with. I think Sydney she's certainly not alone in intensifying those feelings of anxiety. I've definitely seen that before. And that's part of the reason why I felt so strongly about having a therapist on staff in order to be able to address those exact feelings, because without, you know, ketamine, I kind of view it as a key that unlocks the door to your deeper inner self. But it's up to you to truly work and do the work. And Sydney 100% came into it willing to do the work and willing to do what it takes. And I know that that's a difficult thing to do. So I commend her greatly for even, you know, willing to try something that was different and then work through those difficult experiences that she was having. But that is what the therapy is there for. Once you unlock the key to that door, you got to figure out what to do with it. And ketamine is not necessarily going to give you the answers of how to make that work completely in your everyday life. But that is also how we make long-lasting change. And so if we can finally bust through that door and address the things that are behind it, then we can, that's the first step in actually overcoming our issues with anxiety and depression. And so I find that, you know, it helps to clarify and build coping mechanisms, and having that sort of safety net of therapy build upon that is really, really important for anyone seeking ketamine therapy. I think integration is really the key to long-lasting benefits. Mm.
I totally agree. And Sydney, I'll just tell you from my experience with psychedelic healing has been one of sensitization. Absolutely. You know, like going into it, feeling numb and disconnected from certain aspects of myself. And then when I connected with those aspects of myself, recognizing, oh, well, of course I feel numb and disconnected. This part hurts. I have created in my psyche a way of avoiding this part, but that part that I'm avoiding is then running me and creating these reactions that are stressing my relationships and my ability to live the life that I want to live. So for me, I can say that my path has very much been one of becoming more sensitive and not liking it because it sucks. And
yeah. And it's like, I love how Noemi said, it's the key to opening the door. And I wasn't liking what was behind that door, even though I convinced myself I was okay with whatever might be behind that door. And that's because it was unfamiliar. And we've been taught to avoid feeling uncomfortable. And I think my biggest lesson is being okay with not being okay.
Mm. And you talked about using IFS and using therapy as a way of supporting these sessions. Noemi referred to doing the work. In addition to that therapy, what other aspects of doing the work were part of your integration protocol? Was there aspects of personal nutrition and health? Were there aspects of resolving relationships in your life? Like, what does doing the work look like in terms of psychedelic integration?
For me, I was very adamant on maintaining my meditation practice, and doing the work for me was actually trying to do less. I'm always trying to fix and seek, and it was actually learning to be patient, to take a day and just sit on the couch. It was being calm and still rather than chasing and maybe what I would have traditionally thought of as doing the work. So I've always had a strong journaling practice and meditation practice as well. So I think that just naturally came for me. But it was learning to just be okay with where I'm at and not trying to be better or trying to see the results, just trusting the process.
So the healing journey is often spoken of as a lifelong journey where it's healing and perhaps it also kind of folds into a general sort of pursuit of enlightenment and peace and service. There's a, you know, it's not a simple thing where you go in and get healed and you're finished. However, mm-hmm. in the sort of modern Western paradigm, we are going in to a certain kind of treatment modality, hoping to be treated for a specific malady. Perhaps there are others associated aspects to it, but that there's a certain kind of timeline. At some point, we are done with the sessions. And I'm curious, Noemi, how do you know, working with the therapists and with also the client slash friend, how do you understand the healing arc and when it's time to move past the ketamine therapy itself?
So we generally, our protocol is usually 6 infusion sessions over a period of 2 to 3 weeks. And so that is our framework of where we start. Sometimes if there is a good response to it and you might need more infusion sessions, then we can always extend it. But we also reserve the right to not continue infusion sessions. For some people, if I don't really see a clear change into the positive realm with the first 3 sessions, then I will usually suggest that maybe this isn't the right treatment. But like we were saying earlier, you know, creating the space for this treatment is really important. So journaling is a big part of it. Meditation practice is a big part of it. And for most people, these words tend to be very foreign. Like, what do you mean I got a journal? What do you mean meditate? You know, that's not me. I don't do that. But it truly is a treatment that complements ketamine therapy. And I'm actually working with a meditation coach right now that we're going to onboard in order to provide that as a treatment along with the ketamine therapy for those people that decide that they want to pursue that. I think that will be a really great complement to it. So it's creating the space, and that's really important, I think, for people to understand that ketamine is not a quick fix. It's definitely something that takes time to work, which is why we do a series of infusions. The first infusion, just like Sydney was saying, tends to be the one that just kind of sets the tone for what this is like for you. You know, it gets you to have an understanding of, okay, this is what dissociation feels. And so by the next time they come in, they're more comfortable with it and they're able to relax into it some more. And I see that progression throughout their series of infusions where by the time their fourth or fifth one comes around, they're like, all right, I'm ready to do this. You know, let's go, blast off. So there's definitely a journey within that experience. And then what you do at home in order to continue or complement that therapy also helps. So journaling, physical exercise, nutrition, meditation, all of these elements are kind of a comprehensive part, I think, for me and my view of mental health and maybe a Western approach to it, or a way of balancing all of these things is truly the best thing for long-term benefits. And Sydney also came in with all of these intentions, and she already had a practice of meditating. So she was really setting herself up for success in that way. And even then, you know, it was rough. It was just like she said, it was tough at times. So, and on top of that, she has an incredibly supportive partner who is wonderful and, you know, very supportive of her and her journey throughout this treatment. So having that is really special as well. And I find that most people do have people seeking out this type of therapy have others around them who are either the ones that found this for them or are very supportive of the experience. And so that is a big part of it as well.
Mm. And Sydney, you've now completed your six sessions. How long ago did you complete them? And can you tell us a little bit about where you are in your journey? I know you'd said that your experience of panic kind of intensified during the experience. Where are you at with things now?
So I did my sessions in January over 3 weeks. So I'm now about 2 months post that. And I actually increased my integrative therapy. I was working with her, I think, 3 days a week immediately after. And I originally had said, let's do once a month. And then like 2 days later, called her, do you have another spot? And then 2 days later, do you have another spot for me? So I think I would suggest people to be prepared that you might want that extra support immediately after. And then the next month I whittled down to twice a week and once a week. And now I'm talking to her every other week. So I'm still doing the IFS therapy and integrative therapy, but I'm finding it much more of a perspective conversation. Whereas at first I was desperate to talk to her and have that support and someone that could put into words what I was feeling. Cause I was feeling a little just disintegrated because I had kind of uprooted a lot of things and I'm trying to put them back together in a way that was different than before. So of course it felt uncomfortable. And I would say that I'm now feeling on a day-to-day calm and productive because the intensity before my treatment, I was really intensely breaking down every day, which is emotionally draining, physically draining, draining on your relationships. So it's hard to even relate to that, how that was. But thinking back, it was extremely disruptive to my life. And I'm now operating, like, I think I reflected yesterday, like before it was 95% of my days was feeling despair. And now 95% of my days is feeling peace, and I have 5% of despair. So it's been a huge shift. But I also want to echo what Noemi said. I don't think you can put a timeline on how or when it will work. So I really put a lot of trust in the process, and now I'm really, really seeing the benefits in a very positive way.
Well, and those numbers are fantastic, you know? I mean, yeah, that's fantastic. And not a quick fix, but certainly, I mean, if we're talking about January as when you were having that, you know, the infusions, and then a very intense period of integration therapy that has now started to kind of wind down, that's not a quick fix, but that's considering, you know, being on medication for your whole life. And this is a much different experience of healing than I think a lot of people in our modern medical paradigm are experiencing. So that's extraordinarily encouraging for people who are interested in this kind of treatment.
Definitely. And I think I maybe had the impression that the 3 weeks were when all the work was going to happen, but it's more like those 3 weeks are where you're unlocking the door. And so in that timeline, it wasn't quick, but then in a normal year timeline, definitely, like, that's a very, very impressive turnaround, I felt.
I would agree with that. And yeah, usually that's kind of the timeline of doing the 6 to 8 infusions. And then we kind of part ways from the ketamine and we let them take over either with therapy or having created those better mental habits throughout their infusions. Our clients are basically taking it from there. So I always say, you know, I don't want you to come back. That's my goal for your treatment with ketamine. I don't want you as a client forever and ever. So, but we do offer boosters, which is basically a one-off infusion session when the client feels that they need it. And for 90% of our clients, that is not necessary. And for the others, I will have them come back, or I see them come back every 3 to 6 months, maybe, for one infusion. So that's a really good outcome, I feel, for this type of treatment. But it is all about setting the proper mental health habits and then working with those habits to make actionable changes within your own life. So ketamine is basically 6 infusions. And now I will say that this is also unique with the infusions. Some people have, it's necessary for them to do a lot more treatments. There's the nasal spray option, which can either be a bridge between infusions or used during ketamine-assisted psychotherapy. So there are other modalities that people do maintenance with ketamine. But for us, we have strictly stuck to the IV infusion model because the bioavailability is the best with it and the treatment outcomes are the best with it. But that's not to say that other ketamine clinics do things a little differently or use the sublingual troches and other types of modalities in order to help.
So we're coming to the end of our time together. I typically end the Psychedelic Therapy Podcast by offering my guests the opportunity to share their advice or words of encouragement for psychedelic therapists. In this case, I think what I'd love to do is to give both of you the opportunity to give your advice or suggestions or lessons to those who are actually wanting to enter into this treatment themselves. Not something we've done on the podcast before, but something that I think is enormously important right now as these treatments are coming more online for more people across the country. So by way of kind of landing this wonderful conversation today, I'd love to hear about the lessons that you have learned from this experience and what advice you might give to others who are entering into this. And I think, Sydney, we should start with you because this has been your experience. So what sort of lessons would you like to share?
So I think I have 3 lessons I'd share. One is really go with your intuition and explore the set and setting and center you're doing it with. And I from the first phone call with Noemi, felt a connection, an energetic connection. And I had a lot of questions and natural fears, but I, in my true nature, just felt completely called and supported with the process I chose. I would also say, don't have expectations. And I was so adamant that I didn't, but I did. And know that you might normally, they might come up, but just don't try to compare it to how it happened for someone else, or that you'll be better at the end. You're perfect as you are. And this is another way to open up different ways of seeing yourself. And then trust the process and surrender to the medicine. I think that's hand in hand with no expectations. You know, there's no certain timeline. There's no certain ebb and flow. I would love to hear someone's story of how they did have an immediate shift and it was magical. That might happen too, but just really trust the medicine. It's really magical and it will do exactly what it needs for you.
Mm. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful invitations. And something that I'm thinking of in this moment that might be valuable for the listener is, Sydney, you talked about going through this process of the infusions and then going through a pretty intense integration therapy experience. And I think for folks listening, they might be concerned about the cost of that kind of experience, about, you know, and I'm not sure how much of this might be covered by insurance. But what I would like to say for those listening who might be concerned about the cost, in my understanding of this work, is that this is a lot of kind of upfront cost and upfront work. It's an intense period of time in your life, but that this can have perhaps a much greater impact than being on a medication for years and years and all the costs associated with that. So I think something to keep in mind in terms of entering into this therapy in terms of costs, there may be some situations where the therapy is covered by insurance. I think more and more we're going to see psychedelic therapy covered by insurance, and we're all wanting to see more of that. But in terms of if you are bulking at the amount of time and the expenses that might go into this, I would just say that this is a very intense container of healing, but comparing it to years and perhaps a lifetime of medication, that cost-benefit analysis changes somewhat. So I just wanted to add that piece.
Yeah, I actually had to go through that journey myself. And the way I looked at it was, this is a gym membership for my mental and emotional health. And I did. I took away some different costs so that I could do this at this time. But it would so naturally will pay for certain things and certain foods and going out. And for me, this was an internal journey that I invested in. And you can't pay for anything better.
I love that. Noemi, what sort of suggestions and advice do you have? I mean, you've seen hundreds of different friends that have come in to do this work. Mm-hmm. What would you suggest to someone who's listened to this whole podcast and is now thinking, okay, I think I'd like to give this a try? What kind of advice do you have for them?
I will echo a lot of what Sydney was saying. I think she really hit the nail on the head with her suggestions. And I would also just say, you know, do your research for the ketamine clinic near you and make sure that it is a good fit for you. Some people some clinics do fully supervised ketamine infusions all the way to unsupervised, you know, just IM shots. So set and setting are very important with psychedelic therapy, and it's got to be a setting that makes you comfortable. You have to be comfortable with the provider, with the clinic, and with their approach to this type of therapy. So do your research with that. Make sure you're comfortable in that sense. And then I would say, you know, approach this therapy, like I said, with curiosity and not fear. There's always going to be a sense of giving up control, which I think is really hard to do for most people in these states. That is one thing that they tend to hold on to. They want to be in control. And ketamine really kind of disrupts that. And you have to be willing to allow for that to happen first and foremost. So your approach and how you come into this therapy is just as important as the therapy itself. And those would be my suggestions.
Well, and I love this invitation to really do your research and to find the right location, the right setting, the right place. For folks who are in Colorado, for folks who are near where you are practicing, can you let us know how people can connect with you and connect with the Aspen Ketamine Center?
Certainly, just go to our website, aspenketaminecenter.com, explore all of the, you know, articles that are on there, the suggestions, the history and how it helps, and then just give us a call. Give us a call. We'll set up a consultation. And during that consultation, we'll go over your background, your medical history, making sure that it's safe for you from both a medical and mental background. And then we'll begin the onboarding process, which is usually involves an intention setting session with our therapist prior to the first infusion. And then we'll schedule the infusions after that. So it's a little bit of a process. You can't just call up and say, hey, can I get in for some ketamine? You got to make space for this treatment. And we do that in order to give you the best and longest lasting benefit. And that is in keeping with mind with the cost as well, because we don't want this investment to go to waste. So that is part of the reason why we do these steps and why we take the slow and long approach instead of the quick fix approach.
Well, and I think that does seem to be the theme for our conversation today is it is not a silver bullet. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen without the work. However, it sounds like with the work and with a really focused intention that it can move fairly quickly. Not an immediate fix, not a fix without work, but something that can move a lot quicker than, you know, just talk therapy on its own, for example. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really encouraging. And Sydney, thank you so much for being willing to come here and share your own personal healing journey. It takes a lot of courage to just put that up publicly. Mm-hmm. So I just want to give a deep bow to you showing up and sharing the way that you have today. I think it's going to be really helpful for lots of people, including my own mom. So
awesome.
So
you can
much.
Connect us directly if you want as well. I'd be happy to talk to her. And thank you for bringing this conversation to more people than I could do. And Noemi too, for just being the door to my process. It's been amazing and intense.
Thank you as well. Yeah. I just wanted to say thank you to Sydney. This is so important. I think it's so important for others to hear your perspective and what it was like for you, because that's truly what people connect with when they are looking into a type of treatment that is out of left field, that is so different to the approaches that we are used to. So having had this conversation today, I think will be really beneficial to others listening. And I cannot thank you enough for being here, and to you, Eamon, for allowing this conversation to happen.
Well, it has been my pleasure. And Sydney, if you are interested, I would love to return to this conversation in about a year, if you feel up to it. And I know that a lot of this is still pretty fresh. And so I'd love to know what that journey looks like a year on. I think it'd be really cool to return to that. So you don't have to obligate yourself. You don't have to obligate yourself now. You may be in a place where you're like, you know what? I don't want to. But yeah, I think it'd be so great a year from now to kind of look back and see how that integration evolved into, you know, cultivation and ongoing practices that support your thriving and the lessons from that. So I think that'd be really cool.
I love it. I'm in.
Awesome. Well, Sydney, thank you so much. And Noemi, thank you for bringing your wisdom here and all of your experience and for showing up so well for Sydney and for all of the folks listening today. I feel a lot of gratitude for you both. And it was an honor to host you on the Psychedelic Therapy Podcast.
Thank you. Likewise.
Thanks, Eamon.
Thank you for joining us on the Psychedelic Therapy Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please join the Psychedelic Therapy Facebook group to talk about it. You can also share it with your friends or leave a review on iTunes so more people can discover the show. The Psychedelic Therapy Podcast is presented by Maya, a platform designed to help psychedelic therapists manage and measure client journeys. You can head to mayahealth.com to learn more. The show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide mental health or medical advice. Thanks for listening.